today as we come to the table.
Notice what he says here. I love this. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That is, Peter, I believe you completely that you want to do the right thing. But unless you're in the word and prayer and filled with the spirit, you can't. And that's the message that the Lord has for each one of us today. I believe that you want to do the right thing. Even those of you that know right now, I'm failing over and over. Nobody knows, but I know. God knows, and you know. I believe this. You want to do what's right. It's tormenting you. You hate this sin in your life. You don't want to keep doing this. You don't want to keep living this way. You want to be free. The spirit is willing, you see, but the flesh is weak.
Ever find yourself stuck in a cycle of sin? You know that God has set you free, and you want to stop the sin, but it feels like you're just stuck. If that's you today, then this message is for you. In today's message, Pastor Mark will teach you about the three fundamentals of the faith that will set you free from the cycle that you're in. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. It's human nature to want to trust in your own strength to overcome sin. The Apostle Peter was quick to say that he would never betray Jesus. But what did he do? He betrayed him, not once or twice, but three times. In today's message, Pastor Mark will show you how to find strength in the three fundamentals of faith. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, as he continues his message, the garden, the betrayal, the denial.
You know, how many times have we gone before the Lord? Lord, I can't believe I did that again. I can't believe I failed. I feel so bad. He's not surprised. Understand that. He knew you would fail. I'm not justifying it. He's not justifying it. I'm simply saying he's not surprised. If we recognize it, we can say, Lord, I need to be more in your word. I need to be more in prayer, God. I need to be more walking by the power of the Spirit. Peter's not there yet. And this is going to be a hard lesson for Peter to learn. And it's a hard lesson for many of us to have learned or to learn, to think that somehow we can do this. But if we let go and finally realize that we can't, that's where freedom comes. You know, I think I mentioned this last week, but I want to say it again. If you just, you know, listen, when the enemy attacks and accuses you and you're all these things about yourself, what a failure you are, you can't walk with God, you're all this whatever, don't fight with him about that. Now, I don't recommend a conversation with him. That's not what I'm saying. But I just agree with it. I just realized, you know what, Lord, anything the enemy's saying is probably true, but the cross is why it doesn't apply to me anymore. You paid for that on the cross, and it's going to be by the power of the cross, and I'm going to have victory over it. And there's a freedom in recognizing our weakness. I know that sounds crazy because, you know, we push, you know, we got to be strong, and that's kind of what it is with, you know, the world today. But when you recognize your weakness, that's when you're truly strong. What did Paul say? He said, in my weakness, God's strength comes through me. Paul said, I put no confidence in the flesh. How much? None. And this is Paul the Apostle. If Paul puts no confidence in the flesh, we should put no confidence in the flesh either. It seems like it takes a while for that fundamental to get in, but guys, let that fundamental sink in today. Because if you do that, then you can stop all the battles of how bad you are. Just agree with it. Stop fighting it and agree with it. Accept it and say, now change me. Change me. Give me power not to be that person and let me be a new person and give me the power to walk with you the way you want me to walk. Again, Peter had to learn this. And so the process now begins with making sure that Peter knows. And notice what it says, verse 34. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, another gospel tells us, he said before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me three times. So three rooster crows, three denials. You know, it's interesting what God used to wake Peter up. A rooster by its very nature is designed to wake us up, right? And if you ever lived near one ever that does it at all the crazy times, you want to just shoot them. It's like chicken tonight, guys, you know? God actually used an animal created and designed to wake people up in the morning to say, Peter, you've got too much self-confidence. Time to wake up. And it may be that God is giving a spiritual wake-up call to some of you this morning saying, stop thinking you're so strong. Listen, maybe you're toying with a situation right now. You're married. And there's somebody that you're kind of flirting with that you should, I'm not going to fall. Just having fun. Don't walk around all cocky, right? If it helps any, I promise I don't plan this stuff. No, that doesn't help, Mark. It helps none. But listen, there may be something you're toying with right now. It could be any number of things. Don't think you're strong enough you can do it. Realize, look, if you don't even go there, you don't have to be strong. Put the boundary up. Let God be strong for you. Peter here, I can handle this. I can do this. God is literally going to use this rooster as a wake-up call for Peter. And he tells him, it's going to be a rooster, something that's designed to wake you up. It's going to happen three times. But Peter still, look at this. Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. You know, we pick on Peter, but notice every one of them said the same thing. Don't miss that. They all were self-confident. This is why this lesson was so important. You need to realize the word of God says that you're going to be weak. The word of God says these are the things you're to watch out for. There's the word. Now I'm going to show you in prayer and encourage you through prayer to have victory in that. You're all so confident. But unless you're doing the right things, you, like anyone else, is going to fall. No one is immune to falling. No one just has strength in the Lord on their own. It doesn't work that way. And so notice verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. They finally arrive there. They're having this discussion on the way. And so he said to the disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he has kind of the first group sit there. But notice he takes a couple others with him, actually three, a little farther. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Now, we don't know why he took the other three there a little deeper with him, if you will, before he went on down to pray. I know that Peter and John are about to have a major trial that night because they're going to actually go to the trial of Jesus, one of the six trials that he had that night and the next morning. And so they're going to need to hear this lesson about praying. They're going to need to learn more. But because Peter, we know, wasn't praying, as we're going to see in a moment, he denies the Lord, even as we would if we're not praying. So we're no different than Peter. But for whatever the reason, he takes Peter, James, and John. Again, the other tells us the two sons of Zebedee, and we know that Peter goes as well. That's who's there. And notice he says he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Now, they didn't understand what was about to happen, even though he told them over and over. But they could see that he was very, very distressed and sorrowful. I mean, literally the weight of the world on his shoulders. In a moment, bleeding, as we said, sweating, drops of blood. So they themselves are, you know, start beginning to feel heavy and begin to feel distressed with all this. And the Lord wasn't trying to necessarily do that to them. He was simply saying, look, this is where I am. I need you guys to pray with me. I need you to be there with me. I need you to be that encouragement. And we see the humanity here of the Lord. That even the Lord himself needed that encouragement in the human form here. And notice verse 38, then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. And of course, he knew he was going to be dying. But then again, the sins of the world and the separation from the Father being the greatest dread. He said, stay here rather and watch with me. That is, pray. Watch and pray. It means to pray. Be awake. Watch in the spirit. Be alert to what's going on. And if you're alert to what's going on in the world around you, then you pray about it. Again, how many believers today have no clue of what's going on in the world today? Guys, we need to be alert to what's going on in the world today. And we only find that from, again, the word of God and specifically prophecy, which is interesting. That's what Jesus started this whole thing out with, prophecy. He said, you need to know the word of God. You need to know what's coming. You need to know prophecy. Be watching and be praying because that's where you're going to find victory. And boy, do we need this in the days in which we live more than ever. We need to understand this. And so, again, as he tells them, be watching and praying, and he's going to address, notice as he goes on in 39, he went a little farther and fell on his face, and he prayed saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible. There's an underliner if you're an underliner. If it is possible, we'll come back to that, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Now, cups, when they're spoken of in Scripture, represent God's judgment. You look at the Old Testament prophets. In Jeremiah, for example, God says, Jeremiah, go tell this nation they have to drink this cup. Make them drink this cup of judgment or whatever the case might be. And so he's saying, I realize that the judgment of mankind is about to be poured out on me. And Father, if there's any other way, notice this, if it be possible. Here's another way of saying that. If there's any other way that the people at Calvary Chapel Knoxville this morning or around the world can go to heaven without me having to go to the cross, without it going through me, let them do that. If there's any other religion, if Buddhism, Islam, if Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Lord, if they can just be good enough, if people can be good enough to go to heaven, let that work. Or Lord, if they can just go to church enough, If they can be religious enough, if they can do good works, giving to the poor or whatever enough, right? He said, if that's the case, Lord, do that rather than me drink this cup. And we know the answer from the Father was no, there is no other way. It says in Acts 4:12, there's no other name under heaven or earth by which a man can be saved except the name Christ Jesus. And what that means is if you're looking for any other avenue to get to heaven besides confessing your sin and running to the cross, you will not get in. And there will be no one that stands before the Lord on that day that he's going to let into the kingdom unless it's by those means. There's no other passage. But I love what he says here because look at his heart. That's what I want. That's what I desire. But notice he says, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours be done. That is, I don't want what I want. I want what you want. And so we see this total surrendering, a giving over to the Father by Jesus. And notice now he prays that first time. It doesn't tell us how long he's praying, but it doesn't take long for these guys to doze off. Notice what it says in verse 40. And then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And notice it says, and he said to Peter. Now, why would it focus on Peter? Because Peter was the one bragging the most. Now, they all were bragging, but Peter was the leader of the braggadocio. I mean, he was the guy leading the way, right? And so the Lord wakes them up. They all kind of wake up. Imagine how startled they were. They're like, we weren't sleeping. Yeah, you were. So you're all sleeping, huh? I asked you to just pray, and you're sleeping. Peter, you know, I asked you to pray. You're the one that's saying you're going to, no matter what, right? But notice what he says. This is interesting. It's not just so that the Lord can have prayer covering him and what he's going through. Notice what he says. He says, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Now, that's interesting. He's saying, look, yes, I need the prayer. I want you to pray with me. I came here so you could pray with me, but this is for you. I'm going through this great trial, but you are also going to go through a trial. And if you don't pray, you're not going to succeed. You're going to fail. And sure enough, Peter fails because he wasn't praying. And again, you guys know the principle. Look, if we're sleeping instead of praying, we're not going to be able to walk this Christian walk. We're going to fail. Now, you need sleep. I get that. His point is not that we can't sleep. The point is there's a time for sleep and there's a time for prayer. And we need to work the balance in our life. Even as we've got to work in the daily time in the Word, if we're going to be a successful Christian, we've got to work in daily time in prayer. And that means you've got to, again, set that time up. You know, it's interesting. They say that praying on your knees is a great way to pray, but you guys have heard this before as well. It's also a great way to sleep, especially if you're leaning on something. And so it might be that you get up and walk around. Whatever you need to do to stay awake, stay awake. But that's the point. We've got to have that prayer time in our life, and we've got to work it in. Now, how long should we pray? How long should we be in the Word? Listen, let God develop that. I encourage people, if you don't have a life of the Word and prayer, start out gradually. I mean, just 5 minutes in the Word, 5 minutes in prayer. Don't overwhelm yourself. If you want to do more than that, do more than that. But start out small. Why do I say that? Because if you start out trying to be some prayer king or queen, you know, and you can't do it, you're going to quit. So don't get yourself exasperated. Start out with what you feel comfortable doing. Do it each day and let God grow it. But I do find it interesting in light of that. He says, what, could you not pray with me 1 hour? It's as if 1 hour in the Lord's sight is not that much. I mean, for that seems like a lot to me, right? And he says, could you not pray with me 1 hour again? Now, don't take that legalistically, and God's not giving us some kind of barometer about how long we should be praying, but it's interesting the Lord's viewpoint on prayer and hours oftentimes. He says, but you need to do this that you don't enter into temptation. And notice what he says here. I love this. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That is, Peter, I believe you completely that you want to do the right thing. But unless you're in the Word and prayer and filled with the Spirit, you can't. And that's the message that the Lord has for each one of us today. I believe that you want to do the right thing. Even those of you that know right now, I'm failing over and over. Nobody knows, but I know. God knows, and you know. I believe this. You want to do what's right. It's tormenting you. You hate this sin in your life. You don't want to keep doing this. You don't want to keep living this way. You want to be free. The spirit is willing, you see, but the flesh is weak. And Peter had to learn this lesson, and we need to learn it. So what do we do for weak flesh? The Word, prayer, and being filled with the Spirit. And we'll get to the third element right now. We're looking at prayer. We'll get to the third element in a moment. Those fundamentals have got to be in place, and if they're in place, you will find success. You know, it's interesting. Moms and dads, again, you've heard me say this before, but maybe you haven't if you're new, and I want to encourage you in this because kids pull this on you all the time. You know, mom and dad, there's this big event. There's some event going on. It's a party, and all the kids will be there, and you know in your mind that there's going to be probably some alcohol there. There could possibly even be some drugs. And you don't want your kids hanging around that atmosphere and that environment, you know, but they're putting the heat on you. You know, it's like, I want to go and I never get to have any fun. You don't trust me. When you hear that from your kids with a big smile on your face, look right back at them and say, you're exactly right. I don't trust you. And keep smiling. trust? I don't trust you. But now I want to encourage you. I don't trust me either. You see, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Do I trust that you want to do the right thing, honey? Yeah, I do. But I know your flesh is just like mine. And if you get in the wrong environment, even though you mean well, you're probably going to mess up. And I don't want to put you in that environment. So no, I'm not going to let you go to that event. Because I know that if I put myself in that kind of events, I too could be vulnerable to fall. And I don't want you to be in the same situation. So the bottom line is, it's not that the Lord doesn't trust us. That's not the point. It's the flesh we're not to trust. Remember what Paul said? I put no confidence in the flesh. The believers that fall or continue to fail are those that are putting too much confidence in the flesh, your own ability, what you can do rather than what God can do. Again, a strong lesson they needed to learn and we need to learn. Peter needs to hear this. And even though God woke him up and startled him, we're going to see that again, you know, it doesn't really sink in as he does the same thing. Notice this again, a second time, he went away and prayed. Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Now we see he's starting to recognize here as he's praying that this is the only way. It's the only way possible. This has to happen. But he still continues to pray for strength. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Now, this is interesting here. Their eyes were heavy. It means their eyes were, because of sorrow, were heavy. It gives a picture of depression, the heaviness of feeling sad and sorrowful or depression. How many of us have had those times in our life? Probably all of us, unless you're rare, that have had those times where you're so sorrowful and so heavy and so depressed that all you want to do is sleep, right? Again, these are the times you need to learn to watch and pray and to walk and pray. Walk and pray, because the answer to having victory in these type of heaviness, see, they were heavy because they saw that the Lord was heavy. But I think there's something else going on here, guys, you need to note. I believe this also, I believe that the enemy's working to make them heavy with sleep at this point. I think this is a spiritual battle. And why do I believe that? Because notice, while they're supposed to be praying, they're heavy with sleep. How many of you have been wide awake? Life's good. You're excited. Things are going. I'm going to get in the Word for a while. I'm going to pray. The moment you sit down and open your Bible, you yawn. Am I the only one? Why is it I get sleepy when it comes times for things of the Spirit? Why is that? Why is it notorious? People make jokes about falling to sleep in church. Now, sometimes people are just really sleepy or the pastor's really boring. I get that. But why does that happen? Spiritual battle. Spiritual battle. Now, if some of you, I know some of you guys work like all night and you come in the morning before you go to bed and you'll doze off. And I'm not saying that you're in a spiritual battle and you're not spiritual. I'm not judging anybody. So a lot of times I see these saints that come in, they work all night long and they still show up to church. Praise the Lord. But if I was you, I'd be falling asleep too. I don't see how you do that. But either way, it's a spiritual battle. Here's my point. If you find yourself getting heavy with sleep whenever you try to get in the Word and prayer, don't ignore the spiritual battle. Okay? Ask God to rebuke the enemy. Fight against it in prayer. Get up and walk around. It's hard to fall asleep when you're walking, you know? And God will give you the strength. These guys are now heavy with sleep because of the spiritual battle. And notice again, he sees them heavy with sleep, so he left them again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. And he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Again, I don't think this was a yelling rebuke, if you will. I think it was more of a gentle, guys, you're not getting it. You've got to wake up. Jesus was praying. He was ready for his battle. His concern was them. And that's his concern for us. Are we ready for battle? You know, one of the things I try to find balance in as your pastor here is, look, I want you to be encouraged, obviously. I want you to have the hope of the rapture of the church and the promise of Jesus Christ and his coming for his bride. And I do have that hope, and I do believe it with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's not just something I say because I'm a pastor. I believe it. It had to become a strong conviction in me based on my conviction of the Word before I was able to share it with you. But the reality is, I don't know when that's going to take place before some of the persecution of the last days kicks in. And what that means is we may go through some tough times, yes, even in America. And it may be more than just somebody mocking us and losing a job. There may be some tough times ahead. No, I don't know there's going to be, and I certainly wouldn't want to project that and put unnecessary concern. My point is this. Now's the time to get ready. If you're not in the garden right now getting ready, when those trials come, there's going to be the difference of the believers that make it and the believers that don't. The ones that stand and the ones that fall. The ones that pronounce the Lord and the ones that deny. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to still go to heaven. Peter denied. He still went to heaven. The point that Jesus is making with his disciples is, I want you to be successful when the battle comes. I'm going to win this battle, Jesus would say. And I'm going to win it because I've been in prayer and seeking God's help by the power of the Spirit. You know, as he was crushed, we talked about that third fundamental that's there. As they would crush the pith, the oil would come out. As Jesus was being crushed, the oil of the Spirit was now being produced in his life. So all the elements, the word, prayer, and this oil through the crushing coming out, he's ready to win the battle at the cross. These guys have been sleeping. They weren't ready. What happens when the trial comes in stronger? What happens when they say, and probably it's going to come my way before it comes yours? What happens when they tell the pastors, you can't teach that from the pulpit? And God says, I have to. Remember what they said when the Sanhedrin tried to shut up Peter and John? They said, look, whether it's right to obey God or man, you decide, but we have to preach the word of God. We have no choice. How many of us in this room, including myself, how many of us are really going to stand that test when the time comes? How many of us are really going to say, I have to share the word of God, even if it might mean losing home, losing family, prison? I'm not saying that's going to happen in America. It happens in other places. And there's no guarantee that it won't happen before the rapture. I don't know what God has in store. But here's what I do know. If we're not in the garden now with the word of God and in prayer and allowing the oil of God's Spirit to be filling us, we're not going to be able to make that stand. And so now's the time, guys. Get the lamps filled with oil. Invest now. Focus now. So when it does come, when the trial comes, you're ready. You think about, again, the football analogy. You can teach these guys how to block and tackle all day long. But if they haven't been working out and they're not in shape, they're not going to be able to do anything with it. They're going to be weak. Our working out, if you will, is seeking the Lord, getting in the word, getting in prayer. Ask God, fill me. And again, the way it works is, as I said, every day the word, prayer, and say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need your power today. Come upon me. That's how we have strength. And so they had to learn this. They needed to learn it. And they're going to fail this. And the Lord says, are you still sleeping and resting? Don't you understand? Now's your prep time. The trial's right around the corner. And we'll see the trial next week. He says, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And it's too late at this point. Guys, listen, how many of us don't even see the enemy coming? How many believers today don't see the enemy coming? The signs are obvious. Guys, it's all over the world. The enemy's coming. Not to be afraid, to be prepared. You see, we have the victory. We've already won. Jesus has defeated the enemy. And if that trial comes our way where there's something that we have to go through emotionally or physically or psychologically, God will give us the power to do that if we're in the garden, in the word and in prayer and with the oil. So practical application. Again, you've heard me hammer it again. Start with 5 minutes a day in the word if you're not doing that. Start with 5 minutes a day in prayer if you're not doing that. Ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit every day if you're not doing that. Let God grow it from there. But we've got to be prepared and we've got to be ready. And for those of you that have been living in just a constant state of defeat and discouragement or whatever, understand, so is everyone who never learns these principles. Learn the principles of having victory in the kingdom, and God too will set you free. But you're going to have to do your part and apply this. He gives the power, but we have to show up with the word and prayer and asking God to give us that power. And as we finish today, I want to pray over each of you guys that God would do that, that God will make us men and women of the word, men and women of prayer, and men and women that have the oil of the Spirit just not only upon us, but oozing out of us for others to receive ministry as well.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Do you remember the day you discovered the kingdom of heaven when Jesus first called your name? Just like the disciples who dropped everything to follow him, you were ready right then to give up everything else in your life to be with Jesus. As Pastor Mark goes through Matthew in this series, think back to that first love and let the flame be rekindled. Put yourself into the story and drop your nets to follow the teacher who performs miracles. And then sit at his feet and learn how to love. We're so glad you've decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7. You can find our location at calvaryknoxville.org. And if you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net or just download the Way Media app. Well, we've come to the end of our time together for today. But Pastor Mark has much more to share as we go through the book of Matthew. So make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.